Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. This week, Alyssa Mastromonaco and I talk about world leaders insulting each other's wives as the world literally burns. Then, comedian Kara Klank makes her Hysteria debut to chat about back-to-school season with Dana Schwartz and Naomi Ekperigin. Then, as always, our hills. Before we get started, a little bit of housekeeping. If you want to submit a hill that you'll die on, you can record a 30-second voice memo on your phone and send it to hysteria@crooked.com. If you want to submit a question for Dude You Asked, please send it to us at hysteria@crooked.com. You can also submit questions via Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to check out the segment on IGTV on Crooked Media's Instagram. This week, I want to give a shout out to a special group of listeners. Shout out to all the college freshmen listening, all of the people who are at college freshman orientation, and specifically all of the college freshmen at my alma mater, the University of Notre Dame. Remember, for better or for worse, college isn't forever. Hey.
Hello.
I thought the song was just going to play forever.
It would be terrible if we were not connected.
That would be the worst. So, Alyssa, remember last week when we talked about how Bachelor in Paradise traced the evolution of suburban American women's wokeness?
Yes, it was one of our best conversations ever.
I'm pretty proud of it. But I was thinking, in light of this week's news and some other, you know, deep introspection I've been doing, that Bachelor in Paradise won't be fully woke until Paradise sinks into the ocean and the group learns an important lesson on climate change.
So, and I think we're getting there pretty fast because Paradise was close to sinking last night.
Oh, see, I'm not caught up, so I'll have to do it later after we get
I'll lead the charge for us on that one.
Okay, it's also, it's been a bad week to be a tree, I think. Really bad week for trees.
Trees, flowers, birds, polar bears, what have you.
Well, specifically trees, though, because let me tell you my reasoning here. The Amazon rainforest is burning, and rather than doing anything about it, the president of Brazil is calling the president of France's wife ugly.
It's funny pathetic.
Yes. President Bolsonaro, by the way, won't accept the $22 million the members of the G7 have scrapped together to fight the fires until he gets an apology. And also $22 million. I found this out when I was doing research for the show. $22 million is $20 million less than Cameron Diaz made from being in 2011's film Bad Teacher.
Oh,
so that's how much we're pledging, slightly more than half a bad teacher salary of Cameron Diaz to fight rainforest fires. So on top of that,
a startling metric.
Yeah, I know, the Cameron Diaz metric.
Yes.
I mean, the woman has worked hard, but $20 million more she made from Bad Teacher than we are pledging to fight forest fires. Okay. But on top of that, at the G7, President Trump skipped a meeting on climate, saying he was meeting with leaders of Germany and India, except in pictures of the climate meeting, you can see that the presidents of Germany or the leaders of Germany and India are in the meeting. So he just lied. And all of this, Alyssa, was printed on newspapers made of trees. So, like, I was just thinking about this in a sort of, I mean, I guess I was smoking some pot to deal with the existential dread of this week. But I was thinking, like, imagine if you were a tree, and in order to find out about what happened in the world, you pick up something made out of your dead cousins, and on your dead cousins is written news about how other cousins of yours have burned.
It sort of takes me to that Lay's commercial where Mr. Potato Head is eating the potato chips.
I know. That's what a tree reading a newspaper is. It's basically Mr. Potato Head eating the potato chips. So just going away from the trees, the horror of being a tree for a second, I was thinking about the G7, like, just because it was kind of a shit show. And I was thinking about the meeting that Trump missed. And I was wondering, what do you think Trump was doing during the time that he said that he was meeting with the people who are actually in the other meeting?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he was watching whatever obscure Fox News show was on so he could see whether they liked him or hated him today, or whether he liked them or hated them today. I don't think it's not like when you're at the G7 and, you know, which I've been to some G7s and G20s and all the G's. And if someone ever misses a meeting, it's usually because of like some catastrophe or calamity in their country. And they're like, taking phone calls, or they've gone home, or some like very important meeting on the fringes with like another leader. Trump, I think, was eating a very well done hamburger with ketchup and watching Fox and like checking with his Secret Service agents to be like, when can I leave the room? Because he obviously couldn't go to the climate change meeting because he knows nothing about climate change, because everything he knows is made up inside his head, which I mean, we don't even know what's in his head. Like, I mean, maybe nothing. It's possible.
We sometimes see evidence that there's something kind of rattling around in there. Like when he tweeted angrily about there being too many storms this week. There's a hurricane.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's a hurricane headed toward Puerto Rico, which is still recovering from Hurricane Maria, which was a national disgrace, the way that we responded to that. And President Trump, in response to news of a hurricane or tropical storm Dorian making his way toward Puerto Rico, was like, no, what, when will it end? It's like, I don't know. We live on the planet Earth.
He talked about hurricanes hitting an island. Like my mom talked about me, my excessive use of Sunin in seventh grade. It's like, God damn it, Alyssa, when is this going to end? I mean, it's not, it's like, I heard it. I've actually, the problem is I've been listening to the news on the radio in the car. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. Stick to the Grateful Dead channel. Because when you hear the news and you're just like, wait, did he really say that? But then Anderson Cooper was very delightful and repeated what he said. So I made sure I didn't miss it. But yeah, when is it gonna end?
I mean,
they're self-made storms. You know what, Aaron? Maybe he'll just nuke them. Maybe he'll just drop a bomb in the middle of them, which apparently he thinks is an option.
Yeah.
To be considered, at least.
Yeah. I want to use hyperbole to illustrate how ridiculous that is, but I can't think of anything more ridiculous than nuking a hurricane. That is like the most short, that is like the very definition of a short-sighted and ridiculous thing. And I mean, he's becoming old man yells at cloud, which is a Simpsons joke, but he's also, do you remember that Simpsons episode where Homer got a gun and he was using the gun to do everything, like turn the lights out and stuff?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
I feel like that's our president, but with the nuclear arsenal. He's like, maybe we could use this to plant some trees. Maybe we could nuke some trees up out of the ground. Maybe we could nuke a storm out of the sky. Maybe I could nuke myself a hamburger.
I am just hoping that, like, in the movie Armageddon, when Bruce Willis and all the people figure out how to, like, disarm the bomb so that it can't be remote detonated, I'm just hoping that somewhere in our government there's, like, a Bruce Willis or Harry Stamper, if you will, who can, like, just disarm things in case Trump's just like, you know what? This category 2 hurricane that might hit Florida, let's just nuke it over Puerto Rico and just end all of the problems.
Yeah. I wish that we had people that had like Stranger Things style telekinesis. Like we had an 11 who could come out and just like disarm the nukes real quick, remotely.
Just, I mean, it would be amazing.
With her brain. I also wanted, there's other stuff that's going on too. I think the most recent figure I heard was that we have 11 years to deal with climate change. And scientists have been sounding the alarm, I guess more like screaming the alarm and then kind of repeating the alarm in a talking voice and then muttering the alarm as they hold their knees and rock back and forth for years. But it feels like pretty recently there's been a bit of a change. It feels like people actually are paying more attention to it and talking about it. Why do you think it took so long for us to actually talk about this? And why do you think it's so hard?
So, well, first I would like to just shout out Greta Thunberg, who has made her way to the United States. It's like a year since she started her climate change protests as just one person outside of the Swedish parliament. And now there are like thousands of kids who march every day and everyone's following her speeches. And so I'm just excited she made it to America on a boat, because she walks the walk and talks the talk. But I think that it took people so long because I think that like the world at large. Like, look, everybody on the reg, like on the day to day, has their own problems, right? And I think everyone assumed that the leaders, you know, there've been the World Climate Summits in Copenhagen 2020 or 25, and people hear that and they're like, okay, the world leaders have it under control, right? Like, we'll recycle, but they've got it covered. And I think that since Trump and all these, since Trump opened the door to normalizing, you know, the climate deniers, that people are like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Like, more people, I think three times as many people died in Arizona and Nevada this year from like heat related deaths than last year and more than ever before. So I feel like it's starting to hit people like where they live and work. And they realize that like our leaders aren't going to help us. Well, many are trying. When the United States abandons a leadership position, when we are also, you know, some of the biggest, you know, polluters, I think that, you know, people start freaking out.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it really makes me feel the sense of kind of sucking hopelessness like no other topic does. Because when it comes to things like immigration or abortion, you know, I know that I can personally protest, I can give money, I can show up somewhere, I can see people standing and you know, linking arms and blocking ICE agents from entering spaces. I can see that happening, but I can't see anything similar, do anything similar to the environment. It's just sort of the people that have all the power care the least, and the people that get hurt the most have the least amount of power. And that is so, it's so dark to think about that, because it's like, you know, the people, and also, you know, another cynical part of me says that the people that are in a position to actually make a difference are not in any way incentivized to make a change beyond just kind of the invisible morality of being like, this is the right thing to do. And that, right, that's so scary to me.
Well, and part of me, you know, there's been this whole controversy around whether or not the DNC should host a climate change debate. Right. Mm-hmm. And Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, was very against it. You know, they shouldn't elevate, the theory behind not wanting it was that they shouldn't elevate certain topics over others. But I disagree, especially in a moment where all the other debates that we've watched have not at all really touched on the climate crisis. And like, it affects, it's like the biggest thing, like literally the world is burning, like the Amazon is burning, the landmass responsible for 20% of our oxygen, I think it is, mm-hmm, is burning. And so I just feel like we need to hold our the DNC accountable.
Yeah. I mean, we have to talk a little bit about the plans that the candidates have, but also a little bit of a shout out to Jay Inslee, who just dropped out of the race, but I think can take a little bit of the credit for helping to elevate the climate and the environment into the national conversation, as can figures like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders and people who have been championing the Green New Deal. Who of the 2020 candidates do you think has the most viable plan for tackling climate change?
Well, I think that for me, things still feel a bit incomplete. Like, I want to hear people talk about them. I feel like people have put out component parts, but not like the full 360 of what, you know, they would want to do. Like Andrew Yang, he is someone who has put out a full 360 plan for what he thinks. And, you know, and people were quick to dismiss it as, you know, sort of magical thinking, but like, I feel like if we hear everybody, which is why I would actually embrace a climate debate, because it's science. Like, it's not easy for everyone to break down, you know, and totally understand the cause and effect and consequences of some of these decisions and some of the talking points that people have. And, but like, I think it would be great, because ultimately it's not going to be one person's climate change plan that's going to just be ratified. There are going to be parts of everybody's that are like, oh, that's interesting. And that's interesting. So that's why I would like to hear everybody talk all about their plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think, you know, just as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that protecting the environment has become a Democratic priority. And Republicans are just like, yeah, but fuck it. You know, that 11 years from now, that's a million years from now. And I think it's one of the myriad ways that the Republican ideology kind of comes in conflict with itself is that they kind of hold themselves out to be the party of religious people, of Christians and, you know, righteousness. And I think that there's nothing more obscene than destroying the earth that you believe God gave you. Like, there's nothing grosser than that. And it's kind of confusing to me why more Republicans aren't like, hey, wait a second, we're shitting all over the thing that God gave us.
Right. And guess what? God gave it to you, if that's what you believe. God's not going to come down and fix it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is really, and it's undeniable, you know, the things that are happening, the shift in the climate, that the ice caps are melting. You know, that people who have gone to the Arctic Circle took their jackets off mm-hmm. on a trip a couple of weeks ago. Like, these are things that have never happened before and they're happening. It's impossible to say that there is not something tragic afoot.
Yeah. I mean, and if you take a look at, I haven't gone deep into every single person's plan, but just a general look at what the Democrats are planning to do about the climate, it seems like there's no way that we can fix this without massive structural change. Like, we have to massively overhaul a ton of things.
Yes. Especially something that when you think and you look back at some of these plans, you know, we're in 2019 right now. Most of these plans that people have, that Sanders has, that O'Rourke has, that Biden has, their goal is to make things somewhat better by 2050. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, that's a long ways away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that is that, but that should be a signal to people of how severe some of this stuff is, that you have to assume that, you know, people want to be as aggressive as they can, especially in campaign plans. And if 2050 is as aggressive a date, a timeline as they think they can have, imagine what it probably really is.
I've seen a 2030, but the 2030 is like, yeah, everybody's basically got to live in a dirt hut and like, and travel via dreams.
Right. And I think it was specifically related to like transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't like a big macro plan. It was like a very, you know, prescribed, like, here's one thing we can do in 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
11.
Well, I'm sure that this is not going to be the last time we talk about this. I'm going to say that it is the topic that depresses me the most out of all of the
me
topics
too.
That we talk about. It really, I had to take a break and like go for a walk. It was just, it's so depressing, but we'll have more to talk about in the future. Let's get to toasting and roasting. Do you have a toast or a roast this week?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have a toast or a roast. The truth is, oh, you know what? I do have a toast.
Okay.
I'm toasting Greta, mm-hmm. the young leader who is, you know, getting adults' attention and actually like shining a light on the things that people can be doing in their everyday life, and things like, when you are a climate change activist, you probably shouldn't take private planes.
Yeah. I think that's a wise thing. That's a pretty easy one to,
right.
It's a pretty easy one. Okay. I have a sort of like twisted toast because I'm toasting it because it makes me experience joy, but it is a bad story. This week, Reuters came out with an exclusive on
delicious
Jerry Falwell Jr., who is an evangelical leader and not a cast member in The Righteous Gemstones on HBO. If you're watching The Righteous Gemstones, the story is basically like what's happening on The Righteous Gemstones. Jerry Falwell Jr. has once again been implicated in kind of doing some underhanded dealings in funneling money toward young muscular men that are totally his friends. This time he personally approved real estate transactions that helped his personal trainer buy valuable property on the university land. So that's hilarious. Jerry Falwell Jr. is like the most, I mean, here's the thing. What is like delicious about it to me is the hypocrisy.
Totally.
If Jerry Falwell Jr. were just like, you know what? I love young muscular dudes and they love me and we're not doing any under the table financial nincompoopery with each other. Great. Good for you. Live your truth, Jerry Falwell Jr. But the fact that he has made a living making people who also are involved with young muscular men to feel as though they're going to hell, and he's promoted a hateful type think tank, essentially, at Liberty University. I think that he deserves all the derision he gets. He's not like, I don't think Joey Falwell is bad because he likes young muscular guys. I think that he is bad because he's a hypocrite.
And additionally, that stupid school of his is like underwritten by things like Pell Grants, like the money that he was giving away to this guy is like not really his money to give away.
Wow. What a welfare queen. As they
welfare
say,
queen.
As they would say. Oh, man. I just realized after I said it that that had a double meaning. I'm going to pretend that I intended it.
Well, it made you that much smarter.
Thank you. Okay, Alyssa, this is all the time we have for this week. I am looking forward to talking to you next week.
Go hug a tree, girl.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
And we are back at the part of the show where we dive deep into a topic that we think a lot about. But first, I want to introduce the panel that I have with me. Super excited that I have this group together today. First, I want to bring back, for the first time in a while, Naomi Akparagan.
Girl, where you been?
I've been in this studio. I live here. Please bring me food. I'm very hungry.
I will. I'm going to make you a hot meal.
Oh, thank you.
Casserole.
What have you been up to?
You know what? Just trying my best. That's very vague. I'm aware of that. But I feel like that's the overriding vibe. It's like, are you doing your best? Are you in one piece? And that's what I am managing to do.
I think that sitting back every once in a while and being like, you know what? I just completed a time where I tried my best. And I'm about to commence a new time of trying my best.
Yes.
I think that's like a good mental exercise.
Thank you so much, White Oprah. Thank you.
Woprah.
Woprah.
That's me. Thank you. Next up, we have writer Dana Schwartz.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah. Allergies acting up, but other than that, really good.
You know, I woke up this morning, my allergies were acting up, and I was like, is it because of the Amazon? Is this burning trees?
Yes. Maybe if people associate that with the Amazon, they'll help more.
Yeah. If it inconveniences them personally.
In a minor way.
In
yeah.
an immediate and minor way. Finally, for the first time on Hysteria, I am delighted. It's taken us a bit to get you on, but I'm delighted that we have you on. It's a comedian and writer and pal, Kara Klink.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. We were just talking about your Insta, your very photogenic Insta baby.
Oh, yes. I have a private Insta for my baby. Just, I don't want anyone to think I'm trying to make my dog famous. Yeah, she's cute. And filters her. I try not to filter her, actually. I try to up the brightness. I do fuck with the photo a little bit, but, oh, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah. Okay. Swear as much as you want.
You're not, like, Photoshopping.
Yeah, I'm not Khloe Kardashian, like, putting a full Snapchat haze over my baby's face, because they actually have really great skin.
Babies.
Oh, my God, skin. Such good skin.
That's something that I've never thought about, is, like, the decision to be like, okay, I want to share photos of my baby for a very very select and controlled mm-hmm. group of people. I've seen people who have like private or not private, public Instagram accounts where they'll put like sunglasses
or
over
an emoji.
Yeah.
Like some people that are much more famous than me do that. And I get that. I just like was like, I don't want my entire feed to become Babytown USA. But I know everyone's like, show me pictures. I'm like, here's her Insta. Follow away. You know,
I think it's a practical.
And what a gift to give her. Because then she already has a head start.
And I got her name. And I got her name. And everybody goes, you know, she's not going to want this. I was like, you're right.
I don't know. I think the new generation will be all about branding.
Yeah.
The question is, mommy, did you get me my own URL?
I know. The other day I was thinking about possibly buying her own website.
Oh, my God.
I was like, should I just get it? It'll be like
just
10
in
bucks
case.
A year
yeah.
for when she wants to, like, I don't know.
Also, you want to camp on that now so that somebody doesn't buy it up. I know that there was this kind of semi-famous guy who you were like, I'll tell you guys off mic who it was. But if you heard who it was, you'd be like, what? Why was he doing this? But he was going around and buying URLs of author names and then making people pay like exorbitant amounts
of money. That's a full career for people. I think some people do that.
I think career is the wrong
career.
Word.
Well, like
extortion racket?
I don't think people make their entire income off of that, just squatting on URLs.
You know, I'm still really mad. My Instagram and Twitter is Dana Schwartz with 3 Z's because some bitch is Dana Schwartz with 1 Z and won't give it up.
I get it.
1 Z Dana
Schwartz.
That's
like Megan Gailey, other host of this show, right? Yeah. Is better Megan Gailey because someone else is Megan Gailey on Instagram.
She should have gone with best.
Yeah.
Because what if there's a third one and
I'm the best Megan Gailey.
Right. It's like when you play Connect Four and you like leave one person with 3 in a row and there's open spaces on
both sides.
She can get the best.
That's true.
She can totally get the best. I wanted to talk. I've been thinking a lot about it's back to school season and we're kind of bombarded with ads and all this kind of stuff. And like every American person, I have a complicated mishmash of emotions around high school. And I think a lot of people have a complicated mishmash of emotions around high school. Especially the idea that high school does continue forever or doesn't continue forever, because I've gotten conflicting information on that. You know, you're in high school and they're always like, it's fine. This will all be over. Everything will be great. But then there's elements when I grew up where I'm like, oh God, it's still high school.
It's high school forever.
Absolutely. It's, you know, in some ways I'm like better off, but in other ways it's just like, oh, the shit's just never ends.
Although the thing about high school that I wish didn't end. Like, everyone's like, oh, high school will end. But I think the thing that people will miss, and that maybe I miss because I have a broken brain, is in high school and, like, the school of it, there's something really, really satisfying about, like, knowing exactly what you need to do to succeed, like having clear-cut guidelines.
Yeah.
Where, like, life isn't like that. What does success look like? Life is nebulous, and there are no rules, and there's no end. And we're in high school, it's like...
Oh, it does end. There's an end.
There is an end. But in high school, it's like, you do the assignments, you get good grades, you go to class, you do extracurriculars, you do a good job. Like, the steps are laid out in front of you, and that's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And then also that you get a real feeling of the seasons as you're in school. Fall is like, it's exciting, everything's new. And that kind of juxtaposes with everything kind of winding down in nature. But it's like a nice balance. And then winter, you're in the thick of it. It's like cold, but you don't want to go outside anyway because you're doing work. Spring, you're ramping up to be done with school. And then summer, you're off. Now I just like forget what time of year it is.
Well, that's LA. Yeah. I mean, I constantly am like, what month is it?
Right.
Like, I always forget because like the weather is just...
And because we all dress the same all year round. So you have no, like, thing to attach your memories
exactly.
to.
Exactly. I always say that. I'm like, I know when that birthday party was because I was freezing, standing outside, waiting to get into that bar in a too small coat or whatever.
right.
And, like, now I'm like, I don't know. I was just wearing a light jacket everywhere.
jeans and a top.
Yeah.
Jeans and a top.
Megan Gans has a theory, a coworker of mine, that winter in L.A. is when all the girls are wearing boots.
Yeah. It's sandals. They just decide to wear boots. And sometimes I see them doing it, and I'm like, it is not cold enough for that yet. You're just doing it.
I'm
You're
one of those.
It.
I am giving you boots all year round.
Yes.
A booty
boots.
If it's warm.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Love
it's
it.
Every LA is like the hotel from The Shining. Like you've been here for 1,000 years and you don't know it. Like when did the last Avengers movie come out? Was it 6 months ago? Was it a year ago?
I think it was last week.
Was it 1,000 years ago?
I don't know. I think that's why there's so many mismatched haircuts here. Like, you walk around and you see people and you're like, that haircut is for not what age you are.
Well, I think it's why also the plastic surgery, right? Because if you never know time is passing, you just look in the mirror one day and suddenly you're covered in lines. And you're like, wait, no!
It's like you woke from a coma.
Yeah, like, no, like, you don't get it. And I think it's like kind of like a, oh, no, 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 it's always sunny. I should not be old now. Cut it off.
There are no falling leaves to symbolize mortality.
Yes.
Right. And another school thing, like, aspect of this is, like, in school, you would, like, grow out of clothes. It's like, I get to buy new clothes every year.
Right.
And I'm outfitting myself and picking out a first day of school outfit. And out here, it's just like you buy clothes when you're like, I'm depressed. I have nothing going for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have anything creative to do, so I'm going to channel my creativity into consumption.
We should bring that back, though. We should definitely bring back
first day of school.
Yeah, like bringing back looks, because, oh my God, I was obsessed with that. It's like every
year. I would do a fashion show for my dad when I got home and be like, Dad, look what I got. He'd be like, I could not care less.
Wait, tell me about your looks.
Okay, look, I had no fashion. There's like one outfit that sticks out, and that it was so bad looking back. Okay, it was an I Love New York baby tee.
Yes.
And jean, a low waist, or what do you call it? Hip hugger.
Jean. Hip hugger.
Pinstriped jean.
Oh.
What was I giving you?
Well, I love the I Love NY baby tee because you're from NY. And so to me, that's like wearing the concert t-shirt to the concert.
Like, that's what I was doing.
So hilarious. Like, I just want to let New York know I support.
I'm here for you. I would do that. And then, like, I would always try to be like, this is the year I reinvent. Because, like, I'm kind of like a bull in a china shop of a person. And especially when I was younger, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just very loud, all the feelings, this, that. And I'd be like, every year, I'd be like, this is the year I get quiet and shy.
Yeah.
This is the year I'm mysterious. I'm going to eat quiet this year.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
How long was the longest that lasted?
A day. They'd be like, why aren't you talking? What's up with you? Like, I could not hold it down.
You're like, I'm being quiet and mysterious this year.
See, I was going to say, like, high school was, like, okay for me, actually. Middle school was my nightmare. Like, middle school was terrible. And that was the year that a couple of girls told me, like, we just think you're too loud. And so I did spend seventh grade being quiet to see how it would work out. And I was the most miserable person.
And now we are both comedians.
Yeah. And now look what you've done to us.
See, I think it says a lot about my personality that I was way less excited about, like, back to school clothes, but very, very excited about back to school notebooks and folders.
Oh, all that stuff.
A fresh notebook. Yeah. What possibilities.
Oh, yes.
Even now I try to reinvent it by buying new notebooks for myself that I never fill because once it's ruined with one dumb sentence, it's ruined. I want the possibility of a perfect new Dana.
Oh, you were a real production in high school, weren't you? Yeah. Ruined with one sentence, this one.
It's ruined.
Hasn't rested in years.
Yeah.
Throwing those black and white composition books across the room at her mom.
I was wearing like Converse that I wrote emo lyrics on while being a straight A student.
Oh, man. What was your most memorable first day of school?
Oh my God, I can tell
you. I got my period my first day of high school.
Oh, you had to jump. That's Dana's terrible. Safe space. This is her best subject.
I didn't bleed through. That's gross. Should I not have said that?
This is hysteria, bitch. You better talk about it here.
This one is not like a...
Yeah.
You know, shining just to bring it back.
It's not
kind of moment, you know?
Yeah.
So you were probably just
caught it. Ugh. I handled it, but I was like, I'm a woman now.
The first day of high school.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, gosh.
God and was then sending you a message. I'm very religious. Did I mention it?
Wait, what'd you do? Did you, like, go to the school nurse? Were you ready?
I just did nothing and then got home.
You went all day.
No, I think I discovered it like towards the end of the day. And it was just I don't want to go into detail.
Okay, but it was you were able to make it home.
I made it home. And then you wore, because I didn't know what tampons were, so you wore like a glorified diaper, which is what a pad was, and they're awful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like a crinkly diaper.
Even a generation ago, they were so much worse, though.
Yeah.
They used to have like straps.
Yeah. You'd have to clip them under your belt.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing. I still wear them, not going to lie.
clipped onto your belt.
Sometimes if I'm horseback riding. writing. Okay. Well, you had one, Carrie. You were like,
yeah, you were jumping. Well, I just remember my worst day of school was like sixth grade. My mom made me wear a bra. She was just like, it's time for you to wear a bra. And I was like, I really don't think I need one. Like, I'm fine. I'm flat. It's fine. And she was like, no, you need one. And I was like, okay. And then when I got to school, like, I just could tell. Everybody could tell I was wearing one. And it was like a jockey training bra.
Oh, but were they not into that? I feel like the first girl to wear a bra, we were like, oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. They were being judgmental. Like, and then a couple weeks later, one of the most popular girls was just like, can I ask you a question? Did you wear a bra on the first day of school?
Oh, my God. And
I go, my mom made me. My mom made me wear it. Like, that'll like, make it
what
better.
A bitch. Yeah,
I know. I was like, as long as I say it wasn't my decision. Like, oh, it was terrible.
Oh, God.
But that's just when I remember. I recently was in bed, or was I, Target, and I saw the back to school section and my stomach like went into knots. So I was like, oh no, it's back to school. Even though I never have to go back to school.
I was in Target on Sunday and it was like Sunday night, like 8 o'clock, and it was a madhouse. And I was like, what's going on? I'm at a Target on a Sunday night. And then Andy was like, it's back to school. Because I was like, why are the children in Target? I didn't understand why they were out in the streets. And it was like, it was a zombie apocalypse. Yeah. All the best backpacks had been picked clean. All the good, no Ticonderogas left. Do you know what I mean? Just shitty pencils left.
No, I mean, I love the clothes and I love the school supplies, but just that first day feeling of like going back, you're like, oh no. The anxiety.
Oh, the
like
anxiety. I never slept the
terrible.
Night before.
I loved it. The first day of school, there's so much possibility.
Well, you're a nerd,
it's like
Dana.
Coming from a straight A student.
I say that with all the love in the world.
Thank you.
I mean, I was a
were
nerd.
Were you like
too.
Hugging your teachers on the first day? Like, so good to see you, Mr. Murray.
How was your summer? How was your summer? Yeah, I did. I did meet with my English teacher. I did like before school extra because we didn't do poetry in our English class, but I wanted to learn about poetry. So I did like private sessions.
Oh.
It sounds sexy. It was not. Mr. Mahiadine and I just read poetry and talked about verse.
So cute. I had an English teacher I was close to. She was like my number one. And she lived uptown too. Because I went to school Upper East Side, but I was living uptown, and then she lived like Inwood, you know what I mean, even farther up.
Yeah.
But she was like a white lady, and so sometimes I see her on the train, and I'd be like, Miss Luton, what you doing going uptown? You know? And she was like, I live up here too. And I was like, I'm into you. We became friends. I was thinking college is the perfect middle ground because you get like taken care of and that you have a place to live and you know where you have to be and you still, Dana, have those rules of like get the grades, but you have nobody like yelling at you to go to bed or being like you didn't clean your room right.
See,
so it's like the perfect balance of like the structure with that like illusion of freedom. And so that's like when it's fun.
College is really weird to me when I think about it, because it's like on one hand, you're play acting adulthood so much. You're like going to lectures and you think that you're so smart. You're like, I'm uncovering like Hegelian dialectics and like whatever, like super intelligent. You're like with my professors, like, and I'm changing the world and recycling and whatever. But at the same time, you're like eating cereal for every meal.
Mm-hmm.
You're both like a toddler and the most grown up.
You're drinking Natty Light and making out with three different people named Brett in the same night.
But you're like, I'm sex positive.
Erin, no, that is not my journey.
Yeah.
Three Bretts.
I don't think I've ever
you need an intervention.
Made out with a Brett. Have you ever made out with another Erin?
No. No, I've never made out with another Erin.
I made out with a Dana, and then he died that summer.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. That
guys,
was
I'm going to dip out.
That's a hard turn.
This is becoming therapy for me.
R.I.P. Dana.
R.I.P. Male Dana.
Yeah. R.I.P. Boy Dana.
Oh. You were just like, there can only be one.
So here's something that I realized as I was like researching and prepping for this, is that there's so much media out there about people going back to high school as adults, either being implanted into a like a kid body and being like, "Woo, now I get to be in high school again," or like going back undercover. Fast Times at Ridgemont High was originally the writer going and pretending he was in high school and being undercover. And, you know, right now we hear things about, like, there's this woman in Texas who was 34 years old who, like, everybody believed she was.
I remember her.
Like, FYI, that's, like, a full plot to an episode of Law & Order SVU.
Right? It's either a very scary true crime ripped from the headlines plot, or it's like a fun teen movie plot. Right.
I feel like how it's either Never Been Kissed or like this episode of SVU where like she is doing bad shit.
How do schools let that? Don't they need like identification?
Well, that's what I thought.
You just walk in and you're like, I'm a student now.
You know, it's funny because like I would definitely not go back and redo high school, even if I could get implanted in my, you know, 14-year-old body and then go through with my brain and everything I know. I would not want to do it because it's just like not worth it.
Oh, I'm so much better now.
Absolutely not.
All the years between that I've put in between then and now, I do not want to repeat. Except there's part of me that's like, if I could go back to college, not necessarily like be 18 again, but to like go back and redo college, I would love to do that.
Oh,
I think it'd be
same.
Same.
Yeah.
I would pay attention
in class.
I would have chosen classes differently. Like I would have done so. I mean, I also think I would have taken a break between high school and college. Like I was 17 when I started college. Yeah. I'm not like Doogie Howser. I just have a late birthday.
Same.
And I think I would have taken like a year or two and done like some charity thing or so, I don't know, something to like just be ready for college when I got there. Cause I was very like, what class should I take? Okay, cool. I guess I'm taking this. You know, it was like, I was lost.
I never did. I didn't regret it at the time. And like, not even for a little while, but I didn't do a semester abroad because I loved college so much. I was like, I want to be here. And I was like doing a double major. I was like, I need my time. And then later I ended up lived in Australia and did like that. But like age 25 to 26, where it's like, it would have been nice to do this with a little like structure and protection because the whole time I was there, I was like, if I die, no one will know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, I need somebody looking out for me in these streets.
Totally.
The badass streets of Sydney, Australia.
Truly, truly.
The people won't necessarily kill you, but the animals definitely.
A lot of deadly creatures all over, truly.
But I don't want you to be killed by a wallaby
or a jacked kangaroo.
Yeah, school does kind of raise you up in this artificial land of steps and reward and increments and like milestones. And when you get out of high school, it's not really there anymore. I look back on college and I wish that I would have A, not ever tried to do the pre-med thing, B, started by just taking as many like general nerdery classes as possible. Like, I wish I would have studied the classics because I am not fucking doing that on my own independently when I'm out of college. I wish I would have gone back and been like, what is something that I'm going to need somebody like holding my hand through? Ulysses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I would have taken a James Joyce class where I had a professor that was like, this is what this Irish nonsense means. Like, you know, not have been concerned with career because what I studied in college, I did study English, but it was only because it's like, I guess I'm good at communicating. I didn't want it to be my career.
Yeah.
And then, but I didn't know what I was going to do until like my late 20s. So.
Right. Well, college is no longer the thing the way it was our parents' generation, right? Like, it's not enough to even have a BA nowadays.
Yeah.
For most jobs. And so it does feel like college, like I almost went to, so I was a film and English major and I almost went to grad school for film just because I definitely didn't go to college intending to study film. Found out I really liked it. And it was film studies, less filmmaking. And then I was like, oh, I want to keep doing more of this. You know what I mean? Just because I had no idea what it was. It feels like college is such an introduction to everything.
Yeah.
That it's like you come out and you're sort of like, okay, there's some stuff in the world.
Yeah.
But you're not, I mean, you don't come out an expert on a damn thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, you don't even come out expert in having curtains in your house. I've been in people's houses that it's like, I think you get until like 24 to not have curtains in your house. You have 2 years like of curtainlessness.
Wow. Yeah, you tough because I'd be seeing people 28, 29 in the streets.
Yeah, that's no longer.
Tapestry.
It's not. right.
Do you remember tapestries?
No. Urban Outfitters tapestries.
They have a whole section on the website of tapestries. I always considered them maybe things you'd put on a part of the wall that had a hole in it. not window coverings.
You're tunneling out of your apartment, Shawshank Redemption style, and need to cover it.
You need to hide it.
Oh, man. Well, what's something that you guys cared about a lot in high school? Now, let's go back to high school. We can also go back to college. But what's something you cared about a lot in high school that you just are like, looking back, you're like, that was so dumb. I do not care about that now.
Oh, like the SATs.
No, I still care about that.
Yeah, you still care. I don't know. Jeez, what did I care about? Yearbook?
Yearbook.
I was editor of the yearbook, and I was, really important to me. And
do you think yearbooks still really exist in the age of social media?
I was wondering that. I mean, it truly, a yearbook is just like a wasteful Facebook page now, you know?
Yeah, it's other people tagging you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unless you're the yearbook editor and you get to put pictures where you look hot and everybody else looks like shit.
Well, I'll tell you something. My co-editor and submitted the photo of us, and my eyes are closed. It remains one of the most underhanded thing anyone's ever done
messy
to me.
Bitch,
no.
I know. Real Housewives I was like, of Potomac.
I got the yearbook and I was so excited. I was like, this looks great. I look at our picture. I go, Courtney, what is it? She was like, none of them turned out great. I'm like, just this one where you look perfect?
That is such a Courtney thing.
I know. I only like, a Courtney. Courtney. That's so Courtney.
A friend, and but you know, senior year, you're like, we rule the school. We can do anything we want. No consequences. Me and a friend of mine on like school picture, on like club picture day, just snuck into as many clubs as we could. Just to get
oh,
it.
We had people that
we thought it would be funny. So we were on like, we were seniors. We were in like sophomore council. And we're
oh my goodness.
My school was too small for any of that kind of shenanigans. It was like, if you were missing from study hall, the teacher would be like, I didn't see you in study hall.
Study
like,
hall? There was study hall. That's like TV.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a real thing. I know that's just what plot happened.
It was just like, you don't have a class right now. So now you're just in this class.
Yeah, that was called a free.
Yes.
In my school. Period. And you would go to McDonald's.
Wait, what? One, you had free periods. Two, you were allowed to leave?
Yes. Only if you were a senior. Wow. Or a junior with permission. And everybody's ID had the word permission stamped on it or not from their parents.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's the stuff.
Did you ever skip school?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even you had permission and you were like, but I'm going to take it even further. Like, this isn't enough for me to go.
Well, permission was just like, I can leave during my freeze. Like, to skip a full day of school would require a lot of like forgery of notes and other things. I feel like
sometimes we would leave because, you know, we were in Manhattan. You could definitely have seen me on the TRL screen. Like, we would totally, like, is Justin Timberlake in town? I'm going to Times Square. Like, we would definitely do
Cry
that.
Cry me a river.
In high school.
Oh, wow. TRL back then was the jam.
Yes.
You were cool high schoolers.
And then I had one time I came back, my teacher was like, Naomi, I saw you on MTV. But like, it was just like, not like I was in there, but like, you know, when they pan over all the people screaming. And he was like, oh, did you do your homework? Like, you know, he's like, I know where you were.
That is such a bad place to go if you're trying to not be detected.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Okay, you know
your
what?
Mom's like, I can't find Naomi. Turns on MTV.
Oh, man. I have a story of being caught skipping school. So I used to work at this nursing home in town, and our paychecks were released every other Friday. And every other Friday, you could go and get your paycheck, or if you didn't get it by 2 p.m., they would mail it out. And the mail in rural areas is very slow. So you wouldn't get your paycheck until like a week from then.
Oh,
so
God.
I got my mom to write me, and my friends had their moms write notes that were like, we have permission to go during our lunch hour to go pick up our paychecks at the nursing home. But they didn't bind what time we had to be back. It was like they have to get to the nursing home to pick up their paychecks. Oh. So we would all, at the beginning, it was like just me and my friend Joy. And we would just go together. And then we're like, you know what? Let's stop and get a sandwich on the way back. So we just kind of very quickly, or very, very incrementally, we would get a sandwich. And then we'd be like, you know what? Let's play checkers after we get the sandwich. And then the squad grew to me, Joy, this girl, Laurel, my friend Haley.
The squad.
Just a throwdown checker. Like competition, battle
and
royale.
We would full on, and we would go get our paychecks, and then we would drive to the next town, which was called Luck. And there was a coffee shop in Luck where they had like all kinds of board games.
Ooh. Play checkers.
And we would sit there. We spent the
whole— Are we talking Chinese or traditional?
Ooh. Both, baby.
Ooh.
Both kinds of checkers. Parcheesi. And we would sit there and drink coffee and not go to class. And then we would come back eighth period. And that, like, continued to grow and grow until it was, like a full-on, we were just having an extravaganza.
Yeah.
So one time we drove to the Walmart, which Ooh. Was a half an hour away in St. Croix Falls. I know.
St. Croix Falls.
This is every other Friday you're doing this. This is, like, a fun tradition.
Every other Friday, we drive to the Walmart in St. Croix Falls, and we get there, and we're high schoolers. Like, you know when you're in high school, and you're like, we're going to go to Walmart as a group, and, like, you have no agenda.
I don't know about
no,
that.
No,
I don't
either.
We didn't have a Walmart in my
We didn't
town.
Have a Walmart where I grew up.
Okay.
But wait, I need to know about the other girls who didn't have a job. Did they also get notes saying they have to go pick up paychecks?
All of these girls worked at the nursing home.
Okay.
Yeah, this nursing home was big into high school labor.
I love how lit the nursing home was. It was like, hire 17-year-olds.
The owners of the nursing home had a son who was in my class, and I think that they were like, oh, yeah, the teenagers will work for like 10 bucks an hour.
Yeah.
So they were correct. They were absolutely correct. And so we drove to St. Croix Falls. We were like walking into the Walmart being like, sure, now we're going to do all kinds. I don't know what our plan was. And we go in, we go back, whatever. And then that night after basketball practice, I was at my grandma and grandpa's house. They lived in town. And my grandma, grandpa, and me and my dad were sitting in the living room. And my dad and my grandma got up and went to the kitchen. And my grandpa turns to me and he goes, how was shopping? And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, how was shopping? How was shopping at Walmart in St. Croix Falls with the Bewley girl and with the girl? And I was like, I got this, the blood drained out of my face. And he looked at me and then he just burst out laughing. And he goes, that's okay. It reminds me of my skipping days. One time I was skipping school. One time he was skipping high school in North Minneapolis, and he went to a movie. And when he was getting out of the movie, his father was riding home from work on a trolley. And so he was like, so my grandpa was like, I'm not going to tell anybody. You know, that reminds me of my skipping days, blah, 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 blah. So he died in 2009, and after he passed, I told my dad this story, and my dad was like, he never told me about that.
Wow.
My grandpa held that secret of watching me skip
to the grave.
But that scared me enough that I was like, I'm scared straight.
I can't do this anymore.
I'm not going to Walmart.
I can't live this life of crime.
I'm not going to Walmart anymore.
I love your grandpa. Grandpa was a ride or die bitch.
Yeah.
He was legit like, I got you, boo.
100%.
And then he had you till 09.
100%. And probably still has me in heaven. did any of you guys have, Naomi, you mentioned you had a favorite teacher. Did you guys have a favorite teacher?
Hell yeah. It was always the AP Euro teacher for me. Like, the AP teachers were the ones who, like, felt like we were the little club.
They got you, Dana.
Yeah, but I did. I had an AP Euro teacher that I loved so much. And here's where I'm really going to reveal my character. One summer, I went to a writing workshop camp. And he and his wife were, like, two of, like, the counselors. And, like, when we were there, we got to call them by their first name.
Oh my God.
Camp was cool.
That sounds awesome.
It was
loved
so
my
cool.
Teachers. I think I love my teachers more than the students. Like, those are the people who I keep up with now. Because I had a teacher who, like, I babysat her son, I guess, summer after senior year. And he was, like, my favorite. Aww. And he was, like, he was, like, a little nerd. He was allergic to everything. And so as a result of his allergies, like, we could only eat fancy foods. Like, he was like, Naomi, can I have French bread and olive oil?
Was he British? What is that accent?
It's delicate. It's his accent.
Rich people.
He's like, yeah. And he was like, and I was like, you are my fucking number one. And even now, like, you know, I will keep up with them, you know, and he's like grown up. And I'm like, you're a man now. I remember. I was like, I hope you've grown out of your allergies.
So cute.
So you can be out in the world. But that was like, yeah, like a history teacher. And like, I think too, what I liked is certain teachers who would let me kind of have a sense of humor. Like, I remember like writing jokes in tests and stuff, like history tests. Especially history, like, I loved, like, making them characters, you know? I was like, I would call Woodrow Wilson Woody Woo. My documentation. Like, she let me do that, you know what I mean? And she was like, well, you're having fun.
Kara, how about you?
That's amazing. I don't know. I hated so many of my teachers, but I liked a lot of them. I'm, like, at the age now where once in a while a teacher that I loved will pop into my mind, and I'll just Google to see if they're still alive.
Yeah.
Isn't that bad?
Yeah.
And, like, my best friend from middle and high school works at our old middle school now.
Oh,
she's an art teacher. So she kind of lets me know when people pass on. But it was always the teachers that like got my jokes or thought that didn't tell me to shut up, you know, you know, that were and it was mostly my English teachers, I feel like, because I was better at that.
Yeah.
But
also, English teachers are a specific type.
Oh, yeah. I had this one woman, Mrs. Warm, and she just.
Mrs. Warm?
She literally just talked like this, and she had a swooped bang that went across, and she was so fun. I mean, she was just, I was like, now I'd be like, you're on pills. But back then, I was like, she's so chill.
Was her real name Mrs. Warm?
Mrs. Warm.
Yes.
Wow.
This warm.
Is it, weird that I still want my high school teachers to be proud of me?
No, but like, I want you to know they are.
Like, guys, they are. I have a history podcast, and I'm honestly contemplating emailing a link to my AP era teacher.
You have to.
Are you proud of me? Can I get extra credit? I'm 26, but I really like this.
I just did a film podcast, and my friend, it was the two of us, we're both film majors, sent it to our film professor in college, and then he literally posted it on Facebook, and then she was like, Scott posted us, and so like, we still had that reinforcement of like, did we talk properly about film stuff?
I had a teacher in high school who was mean, but she was my French teacher, and she like I remember when it was time for the AP test, she was like, Kara, I don't know if you're ready for this. And then I was like, okay, but I took it and I did fine. And she scared me and she was really mean. But then like later when I moved to Italy after college and like got very into Italian, I like speak
you moved
Italian
to
and everything.
After college?
Yeah. To like teach English and like have fun. And, but I got very into learning a language where you had to, like, so I was very immersed in Italian. And so I would like actually email with her about like, cause I was like, I was never this into French because I had to learn French, but now I'm into Italian because I'm meeting guys with it, you know? And so like, I actually kept up with her for like a while over email, even though she was like the scariest teacher when I had her, because she was like, she was good. Even, you know, like other teachers, like even though they're mean, she was good. She was a good teacher.
So
I think a lot about I was just thinking about like education and how much we pay teachers and how important they were to us, and how like I think teachers, out of all of the professions in the whole world except for maybe nurses, are the people who are paid the least in proportion to their impact on people's lives. And it really really sucks.
My sister's a teacher in Manhattan on the Upper East Side, and New York teachers do okay, but like it's still not enough for what she does.
It's like okay, but then you realize they live in New York.
Oh yeah. Right? And my sister like is like every girl at her school basically that gets pregnant just like doesn't go back because there's just like no like financially, like it doesn't make sense to pay for childcare.
Yeah.
When that, like, that's what you're, and, but she's like, she's with someone now, but for a while she was single and she was like, I guess I just like never get to retire because I don't have a husband. Like it's just like a weird, never get to like have a non crappy apartment or whatever.
Right, exactly.
In order to be a teacher in a lot of urban areas and in a lot of schools now, you have to have advanced degrees, which is something that is really tough, because in order to have an advanced degree, you have to either pay for your education up front or take on a fuckload of debt and spend your whole life paying your debt.
She does.
Off.
She has so much debt.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? I do, because I went to a public high school, and so all the, you know, salary better government, all my high school teacher salaries are posted online. And I want to say the ones that have been there make a lot more than I do for a while. Pretty crazy.
So but you're 26?
Yeah.
So I think that's fair.
Yeah, you know what? I take it back.
Look, they've been there for 26 years. I'm 26 years old. Like, why aren't we making the same amount of money?
Like, these are pretty good salaries.
Those are like...
For teachers?
White House staffer salaries.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, but then it's like, think about, because I know I've had friends who are teachers, taught for a while, and then was like, fuck this, I'm going to law. She went to law school. She was like, I can't, but she would literally, she bought her students' laptops. She had to buy supplies. Oh. She had a donor's choose page. And my mom would, in essence, like, my mom gave her money one year and was like, and her donor's choose was like, literally just, I need supplies for these kids.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you make X, Y, or Z salary, and then you have to spend 10% of it more on like the stuff you need to do your job.
Mm-hmm. It is
crazy. Are you kidding me?
My sister's a teacher too. And my mom's a high school principal. And my uncle's a teacher. And my aunt's, I have a lot of teachers in my family. And depending on where you are, I mean, there's some places, rare places, shrinking places, where teachers are supported enough and they're given enough school supplies and stuff. But most urban areas, especially, their teachers are kind of on their own.
Yeah.
And it's really, I don't know, I think it really like set, first of all, the teachers are set up to fail.
Yeah.
The teachers are set up to sort of be tethered to their jobs forever, or to quit and then have to take a high-paying job that's soulless if they can transfer their skills into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the kids that they're teaching are being told that they have to, in order to succeed, go through this like super expensive path. And I think that, you know, we're talking about going to college, we're talking about high school. And in a lot of places, college is not financially accessible for people.
And I mean, even as simple as like, you know, and I know now they do have certain, you know, grants and stuff, but even just the pay to submit applications.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and also just the schools, because I was a sign language interpreter for a high school student in New York, and she was a 20-year-old junior. Mm-hmm. So that already tells you how her mm-hmm. education has gone up yeah. to this point. And so I was in classes with her, and as I was taught, and as is common like belief, is as an interpreter, my job is to convey information, period. Yeah. So if your teacher is teaching something, I'm conveying that. I was in classes with her where they were like, here's this assignment, teach her to do it. Like, she was doing her own stuff, and it would be, like, worksheets, and then it would be on me to try to teach her. And I was like, honey, I can't
teach. You're not a tutor.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, I can't teach math. I can't teach this. And she was in remedial classes. But what I noticed, too, you know, the other students in the classes, the extent to which it was like, oh, you're not going to college, so we're not even going to have that conversation. And there was, like, one girl, and I remember talking to one little Black girl who was in these, like, it was a couple remedial classes, but she was, like, still smart, and she was, like, into it. And she was like, I don't know. And she said, we were talking, so he's like, I don't know if I want to go to college because I feel like it's going to be too much homework or something. And I, like, literally was like, the thing about college is you'll get to do homework and stuff you like. Mm-hmm. You know what yeah. I mean? I was like, you may have a couple requirements, but I literally was like sitting here trying to have like a come to Jesus Michelle Pfeiffer moment with this girl. I was like,
did you turn your chair around backwards?
Exactly. I was like, real talk. Let's get real. Poetry is Shakespeare. But I, you know what I mean? Like, I just like really like, but it was so crazy to see this school where they just kind of assume these students like it was not going to happen for them. And then if no one's telling you that it's going to happen for you, why are you even going to?
Yeah.
You know, like, how would you push any further?
People rise or fall to, like, what's expected of them, for yeah. sure.
And also what they're handed. I mean, I think about some, like, chuckle fucks, like, like the Trump kids, and yeah. how, like, if they were born in with that level of intelligence and looks.
And no money.
Yeah, and chin. If they were born with that level of,
that
chin,
level of right. chin
into a poor family yep. in Appalachia, yep. like, where would they be? Like, if you're a wealthy child, you have to work to move down in class yeah. because everything is there to like
keep prop you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, bolster you. Like you get into Penn, even despite the fact that your head is essentially just a brainstem. You, like you get, you know, bailed out.
You'll get internships with good people, even yeah. if you don't care about what you're interning.
You get a cushy job at your dad's company.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just started watching Succession last night, you guys.
Oh, my God. I can't even take
it. I hate this whole story.
I'm going to need to consult with you later because I'm about to start it and I'm like so excited. But that's the thing. And then poor kids have to work. I think rich kids have to work equally hard to work down as poor kids have to work up because it's so entrenched. And I think the education system is one way in which these things are just kind of beaten into kids' brains. Like, you are a failure. You're not going to go to college. You're going to live here forever. And or you are a success. You're going to go to college. You're going to live here forever. And that just seems like it's sort of one of the like mini tragedies in America right now.
Especially because, you know, we say college and I think it's important, even though I'm assuming went to like private colleges, liberal arts. Like, we also have to make sure, like, when we say college, it doesn't have to be that. It could be community college. It could be associate's degree. Yeah. And, like, I think people don't even want to include that in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Or certainly people who would be categorized as elite, you know, they wouldn't think of that. But it's like, no, there are all these ways to get the tools you need to have, you know, the job, you know, that will allow you to live comfortably.
But even then, it's like, the system is biased in favor of like you go to an elite college, like that name opens doors and then the connections you make like helps there. It's like every step of the way reinforces kind of what Aaron's talking about, that like if you were born in a certain class and privilege, like every new step continues to bolster that up even stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like Naomi was saying, I think that the path to getting an education is not just going to a traditional four-year college. Like, you can, you know, take a couple years off from college and work, which is what, if I could go back, I totally would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done, like, Peace Corps for 2 years.
Totally,
and then
something like,
come back slightly more worldly than the 17-year-old shithead I was. but, you know, there's that. There's also, like, apprenticeships. There's also learning a skill. Yeah. There's also, like, and another thing that I think that people kind of lose track of is that education is kind of, you have a unique experience when you go to college to get a specific type of education with some of the smartest people in the world. And that's great. And that's nothing to be minimized. But if you miss out on that, or if you weren't ready for that, or if you squandered that, it's still there for you, especially now. Like, there's classes you can take online, not like University of Phoenix style stuff, mm-hmm. but like actual.
The Great Courses is great.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. great courses, stuff you can watch, like lectures. Your education can continue even if you don't do the traditional thing or you didn't do the traditional thing. You can still, like, think, teach yourself to think.
But I do think one of the things I'm like, I think college, like, when I'm ranting about the state of our world, you know, I think college should be free. And I think there is something you get, I think especially in this age of increased racism and sexism, there's something you get about being taken out of your house and being forced to live with other people, mm-hmm. people who you would never interact with otherwise, mm-hmm. you know, and not, I mean, like, look, you get to college, people, you find your tribe, which usually people like you, but there is something about sitting in a room and having to hear somebody else's opinions mm-hmm. and, like, learn how to communicate effectively with someone different than you. I feel like a lot of racism would be cut in half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, if you just had to go, you know, first of all, leave the country.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
preferably,
yeah.
preferably somewhere that didn't speak English.
Go to another country and see what they're saying about us.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just like learning the universal, you know what I mean? You go someplace where they don't speak English and you have to get by, mm-hmm. you gonna learn like we're all human real
yeah,
fucking
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
Did you read, know? Do you remember that shitty op-ed about how like required reading is like liberal propaganda because it's like they're having kids read books about like other perspectives?
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's, I don't.
It's like, oh, they're reading books by people of color and minorities and stories about different experiences. Liberal propaganda. And it's like, shouldn't college be exactly about that?
Right.
Like, learning different perspectives?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. Putting yourself up, like, alongside people that you never would have normally hung out with or encountered in your day-to-day life is super important because it gives you empathy. Travel also, like, mm-hmm. holy shit, you go to another country where people don't speak English and you're in a space that isn't necessarily designated for tourists. You will find, I've found that people, if you are a polite, decent human being and you put in a good faith effort to not be an asshole, that people are generally good and kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have found that. And I don't know if everybody, I know not everybody has found that, but I think that that's an important lesson to learn is like, oh, you guys are just like me and also in many ways nicer.
And yeah. learning America isn't the center of the universe is like a
oh,
very
yeah.
important fundamental thing.
Yeah.
I just remember when I was in Italy on my semester abroad and was like, I heard these people talking at a bar and I was like, oh, you guys are American too? And they were like, we're Canadian. They were so offended. And I was like, why would that be bad to be American? And then I was like, oh, I just don't know anything
Did
about politics.
Did they apologize
yet.
First? Because nope. if not, they're not Canadian. That is a tell. They are Americans pretending to be Canadian. Okay. Let's wrap this conversation up because we have to take a break. But let's say a piece of advice that you would give your younger self going into either high school or college. Here's mine, and I've tweeted this to this effect, but in college, this is what I wish I would have done. Go to every class.
Yeah.
Do not ever skip class, unless you're contagious. Don't skip class. Go to every class and do all the reading. Do everything that the class, that like your number one job in college is to do all the stuff in class. And then when you have extra time, do the extra stuff. And I know that would have made me like have a lot less fun in college, but I think I could have gotten away with having like 50% as much fun as I have.
Yeah, I'm like the exact same. I'm like, if I had an okay average and if I had actually done anything, I would have been a really good student in college. If I could go back and like tell my high school self something, I would probably be like, the SAT's not that big of a deal. It like made me so anxious, that test. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't like taking tests or whatever. But also not to get so caught up in I'm from a town where like they publish all the colleges in the town paper.
What?
Where everybody goes. And it's just like my mom was so caught up in me going to like a top 20 school or whatever. Yeah. And like I would just, I'm definitely as a new mom, like not saying any of that to my daughter. I'm going to be like, we're going in state, baby. But like, yeah, just like don't, none of that. the elite, the whole elite college thing is just not, it feels like it's like a farce. I don't know.
It's also more for the parents than the kids.
Right. It was like, it was for my mom.
See, I was a good parent. See, my kid got in here.
Yeah. My dad has a bumper sticker of every single one of our colleges. I'm one of six kids. There's a lot of bumper stickers on the car, and it's the grossest thing.
He doesn't take them off when you graduate.
Oh, no.
Ceremony.
They're on. And he got a new car, and they're on there.
Okay, Dana, any advice for your younger self?
I just want to piggyback on yours, Aaron, which is just like learn the material, not because you want to like check a box or take the class. Sorry, I'm about to sneeze. But just learn the material for its own sake.
Okay. Bless you.
Bless you. Thank you. You did it. It's interesting. There are a couple things. College, I would say like, or really both, but I think maybe it feels a little easier in college because you're leaving. Do something that scares you. Like, find that, like, make sure that you just don't kind of extend high school and, like, hang out with the same kind of people and do the same kind of thing. I know for me it was, like, doing comedy for the first time, you know, or, like, I'd always wanted to do theater, and I just, like, threw myself into that once I got there, and it felt like, I'm in a new place, I can do that. But then for high school, too, I would say, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think it would have helped me to keep this in mind, even the mean girls are hurting.
Oh, that's so empathetic.
I think I spent, you know, so much time, especially because they were rich and they were skinny and they were white, being like, you know, I'm the shit, or like, meaning a piece of shit, and like, they're, you know, and like, they've got it all figured out, or like, they're somehow, they have a right to be mean. They're somehow doing something better. That means they get to look down on everybody. And it's like, when we look back and like, especially when we all talk now as adults, it's like everybody hurting over something. And high school was hard for everybody.
Yeah,
even
and then you
the
like look at their
ones.
Instagrams and they like stopped working. Right. You know? I'm just kidding.
No, but it's not true. It's like you're so obsessed with like filter and appearance and staying skinny or staying whatever. It's like,
do they reach out to you now and are like, hey?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely not. A little bit of that happened on Facebook, and I was like, no, thank you, because I'm still bitter. But if I could, I was like, they're hurting. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, meaning,
totally.
Like, we all got our shit.
Everyone has something.
Everyone's got something. So, like, don't trip when they treat you bad, right?
Yeah.
Hurt people.
Oh.
You know, it's like that.
Yeah, Oprah? Now who's Oprah?
We're just passing the Oprah ball around today.
I'll be Jewish Oprah.
Yes.
We've got two Jewish Oprahs.
Yeah.
Oprah.
That's
the plural. Okay. That's all the time we have for this conversation about high school, college, back to school time. But we will be back with The Hills That We'll Die On.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, we're back. We're at the part of the show where we get really intense about things that intensely don't matter. It's The Hills We'll Die On. Let's get started with a listener hill.
Hey, Hysteria ladies. So here's the hill that I will die on. If you pay for something in cash, when you get the change back, you should always get the coins back first so you can hold them in your hand.
Yes.
Instead, when they give you the bills first and then the coins just slide around everywhere and you can't put them in the right place.
Yes.
That's a great hill.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Oh my God. This is, my heart
That's
is singing.
So good.
It is so, because I like also am very cognizant of inconveniencing people. And so if there's people behind me in line, I'm very quickly just throwing my shit to get out of the way, which I feel like I'm one of the only courteous people.
Conspiracy theory. Do they do that? So then you just dump it into the tip jar?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe. But at the grocery store, they do that. That's why I kind of like those little slides that the change goes down. Yeah. Love those. Because then I get the change at my leisure.
Also, the coins are having a great time.
Yeah.
The coins are just having
fun. I get to go on my slide.
But yeah, I'll go into my, like, every time I take my pants off, because, you know, every time I take my pants off, if I've been out during the day or whatever, there'll be a wad of cash with like 3 pennies and a dime inside of it. And it's just, yeah, I completely agree.
I don't pay in cash a lot anymore.
Oh, see, I don't like my transactions tracked.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say, I think I've had $10 in my wallet for the past 30 days. I don't use cash for anything.
I like when I use cash, it makes me feel free. If that makes any sense. Like, I've done it and I've paid it. I don't have to keep track of a damn receipt. The money is gone.
It's gone.
I know it's, you know what I mean? I don't have to settle up with a credit card. It just feels very like, we did it. I'm a woman on the go.
I just love points.
Points are fun. Yeah. Points are fun. Okay, I'm going to do my hill. So it starts with a story. First of all.
Okay.
So in my building, I have a neighbor. We don't share a wall, but we are like, my door is on one face of a corner and his is on the other. And the other day, as I was leaving my apartment, I hear this like cartoon voice like singing outside of my door. And I open it and it's my neighbor. And he looks at me like a deer in headlights and he goes, I'm so sorry. I have a cat at home and I was getting ready to sing to her. He was singing to his cat on his way up the stairs into his apartment.
Oh, and the hill warming up. Doesn't want that cat to hear a flat note.
Vocal warm up.
Yeah.
And it was like this very, I mean, everybody has like, if you have a pet, you have like a cartoon voice that you use and you like sing different songs to it. And anyway, I found that incredibly endearing. And here's my hill. I think that if you get caught singing to your pet, you shouldn't apologize. You should just be like, I got a cat singing and be totally unapologetic about it. Own your truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live your best life. That's the hill I'll die on this week. Okay, Dana, do you want to go?
Yeah, mine is also, it was inspired. I thought of a new one as we were talking about change and money. In England, they do a lot of contactless paying, and they don't have it in America because people are scared that like it'll get stolen somehow. Like, I think that like America's big on like security theater.
Theater, exactly.
Theater, where like it doesn't make a difference. It's like taking your shoes off at airports. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter, but they want us to. So contactless, it's not, you know, no hackers are going to be like, I'm in. But it's like Americans, I think they figured out, like, don't feel as safe with it. But I will say, being able to pay contactless in the UK is the most convenient thing in the world. And my hill I'll die on is bring it to America, because I don't care if you feel like it's a little scary, because it's not. And it works and it's amazing.
It'll come. Texting was big in Europe before it was here. And I was like, people are never going to type messages to each other on the phone. And then look at us now. I'm like, do not ever call me. Why are you calling me?
Literally someone called me. I'm like, who died?
I will say,
if I get a phone call.
If you have a British, if you have a friend who's British, be like, we don't have contactless payment here. And they'll be like, what? Yeah. I thought America was sophisticated.
I mean, essentially, you're talking about like Apple Pay, right?
Yeah.
Except like two places
for
take
everything.
Apple Pay.
Yeah. And like with credit cards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I can die on that hill with you. I mean, it's a thing that I didn't know I wanted, but now I guess I do.
You just tap a credit card.
Yeah. No,
I don't want it.
Sounds great.
It's like entering the subway.
I don't want to.
I love you.
It's coming.
All right. Kara, do you want to go?
I can do my hill. Okay. So we started out this conversation talking about my baby's Instagram. Okay. And I want to tell you that, look, I'm not proud of myself for having an Instagram for my baby, but it is private. And my daughter only follows me, my husband, like a couple of my siblings and other babies. That's it.
Other babies.
She has a lot of followers, but she's not following you back if you follow her because like,
she's a baby.
I don't also want to make like decisions for her, but I'm like, you got to follow me, you know? I need the numbers. And I know some people who have Instagrams for their babies and they comment as the baby.
Oh.
And I don't think that should be, I think that should be illegal. I think you should receive jail time for it.
Fully. Call PCS.
And this honestly is an extension of like pre-Instagram. I had a friend who used to write us emails in the voice of her child.
No.
Like, today I tried strawberries for the first time. Like,
upset.
Oh my God.
I'm so upset.
And
so upset.
Like when your kid has an Instagram and is like posting stuff and is like her kid will like my photos and be like, I miss you, Aunt Kara, or whatever. And I'm like, no.
Wait, important on your kid's Instagram though, are the captions captions? What are
the captions are also not in first person.
Good. Or yes.
Yeah, they're not. They're all like very generic, like TGIF. Like they're not like they're never like I'm working so hard on taking a poop right now. Like they're not in her voice because I don't want to like commandeer her voice. Yeah. Like, that's not what she has said. And so I'm just like, here's a photo. Here's like a kind of a pithy like caption if I can manage it. It's mostly emojis.
What if the caption is just her being like, well, catch up, like whatever nonsense. You do direct quotes.
But I do quotes. I'm like, this is something you'll know. That's when she really said it is because I put it in quotes. But yeah, I just think sort of like people that like live in the social space using their children's like voices and images. It's creepy to me and I don't like it.
Yeah. Cause I feel like if you do that to your kid, when you get old, your kid has every right to do that to you. If you're like old and
and they're like,
grandma pooped her diaper. Just had a delicious jello. Okay. Naomi, bring us home.
Okay. Now I feel like, you know what? Don't at me. Okay, because I know y'all be coming in hot with some thoughts. I want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If I'm on a goddamn plane with you and you are a grown-ass adult and it's not your first time on a plane, don't you open that fucking window to look at the clouds.
What?
It is too bright. It is too bright. If we're on a flight before 10 a.m., just assume I've been up since 6. Period in a story. I want to take a damn nap. You want to come in here and look at the majesty of the sky for 4 hours and 45 minutes?
No.
Even on an afternoon flight, if the flight is at 1 p.m.?
No, I still don't like it, but you know what? Fair game.
Yeah.
Live your life. But when we coming through at 9 a.m. on American Airlines flight and your gray-haired ass want to look out at the goddamn clouds, it is a flooding light.
Yeah.
It is a flooding light.
It's headache inducing.
It is intense. And we're like in that enclosed space. And it kills me. It's not your birthday. It kills me.
The air marshal should take them away.
Isn't that what the air marshal's
that's
for?
What the air marshal's terrorist
act. You've hijacked my entire experience. And I not like, look, okay, like I get it. Majestic, beautiful. Ooh, we're up high. I also don't want to think about the fact that we're up high. For me, part of like being on a plane is like
shutting it out.
Yep, shutting it out. Like, don't think about how high we are. Don't think about how dangerous it is. Don't think about how the pilot might be asleep. Like, so it's like, don't show me the clouds. Don't show me the wing of the plane. And I just need you to close it. Look at it for a second to just confirm that, yes, you are in the air. And then close that window.
Okay. I am like 1,000% with you. I truly death stare anybody who does a window open. Honestly, I'm even saying those afternoon flights. Keep them shut the whole time.
I've done the like nice white lady, like, excuse me. I've done that to people before, especially like I've been in the middle seat and, you know, there'll be like somebody. Oh, one time I had somebody with a window open sleeping.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, I woke them up. I was like, excuse me, if you're going to, can you just shut that? It's like, I get migraines. I don't get migraines.
Yeah.
I don't get migraines.
I'm allergic to clouds. Are you ever like in that with that window that goes in between you and another one? I'm always I shut that thing right away. And I'm like, I planted a flag here. That is my window, even though it is between both of our
seats. I will
reach
my arm back just to show that I'm in control of that window.
Assert dominance. Shut that window.
Dude, too bright. It was funny that I was on a plane once where like these two like young English women, there was like an older woman and it was a two-seater, but she had no one next to her. She wasn't in the window seat, but no one was there. She opened up the window. These girls went off. They were like, close that window, like yelling at her. And then she was the woman, rightly so, I get what she was like, no. Like, thing is like, meaning like, don't yell at me and like try to bully me into doing
something. Right.
But then at some point, the stewardess had to come in. And then I got a cookie because I was a bystander to the whole thing. Because she was literally, because then the ladies were like, it is too bright. But then I was like, it is. Like, if it's like a 9 a.m. flight, I've been up since 5:30. I'm like, literally, I'm just shuffling along until I can lay
down again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, until I can sit.
Aaron's strategy is the smartest one. You have to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Excuse me.
I have an affliction.
I get migraines. Weaponize your tears.
Yeah.
That's my.
I'm black. It don't work that way. They'd be like, she's off the rails. Get her off the plane. She couldn't possibly be a doctor. Remember when that happened?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Ugh. That makes me want to jump into the ocean.
Sorry to bum us out, to close us out.
And racism is a nightmare that we'll never escape from.
In conclusion, the fabric upon which the company was built is racist. And this country is based on stealing land and stealing labor. All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Great to see you.
Let's talk about the cool projects you guys are doing. Dana, you're hosting Noble Blood.
Yeah, I host this history podcast called Noble Blood, and new episodes every other Tuesday, but a really good one this Tuesday about white people stealing land.
Oh, cool.
Fun. I literally just told my husband about your podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, this looks like you would love it. He's a huge history
person. I hope he does.
Yeah.
Naomi, you have a cool podcast as well.
Oh, yes. Couples Therapy. Kara Clay has done it.
I've been on it.
You've been on it. My God, it's all happening. And on the podcast, we have comics who are close to sets together about their relationship. And then we also have people like you, Erin, come in and answer relationship questions.
Yeah.
And you came in full Wopra realness.
Thank you.
So you can do that.
And Kara, what are you working on?
I just finished work writing on RuPaul's Drag Race. So I have been out of the stand-up game for a minute, but I am back in now because my job ended yesterday. So I have a show every Thursday in West Hollywood called Better Half that I run with my better half, my husband. I'm the better half, let's be real. that's at 8 on every Thursday in West Hollywood, and I'm on the social media and all that stuff if you want to. I have a comedy album out also that's called Undefeated.
Oh, the cover of it is so good.
Thank
it
you.
Is Sweet Valley High.
Thank you. It was very hard to wrangle the original artist who is quite old.
That was a dying breath that drew the art on your comedy album. Kara Clank, thank you so much for stopping by. Dana and Naomi, thank you so much for coming by. And
thanks
to Alyssa Mastromonaco for calling in. There'll be more Hysteria next week. Hysteria is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Rustin is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thanks to our digital team, Nadina Melkonian and Elijah Cohn, for production support each week.